I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me.
Thank you very much. All right, Jimmy, you still with me?
Yes.
All right. A little technical difficulty there with the music. Jim, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Aside from Leo Wanter for a minute and this, you know, this whole financial debacle, you know, we know that the Fed injected another $41 billion into the stock market yesterday. Uh-huh. Now, here's the question. Here's the question. First of all, whether they printed $41 billion or whether it was just a computer entry, we know that the currency that is being, you know, the transaction that is being made, it's based on fiat currency, and fiat currency has absolutely no monetary backing. It would be no different than me being a Monopoly banker and handing someone $41 billion worth of Monopoly money.
Correct.
So,
yeah.
With that thought in mind, okay, the only thing they're really doing is creating the illusion and causing a slow decline in the dollar value. And in my mind, as I look at this and I look at all of the money that's being injected in there and the problems they're having with the derivatives and the hedge funds and so forth, yes, behind the scenes, you know, yeah, it looks like Leo Wanta was for real, okay, and that all that he said is really true. But aside from that,
yeah.
Okay, there could only be one reason why they're injecting this, and that is to artificially keep the economy or the market propped up until a specific point in time that they would let it go into free fall. And my thought is, my gut feeling is that the only reason that they've done this and they cut the interest rates another quarter of a point is they're probably trying to make it through the holidays before the proverbial SH blank T hits the fan.
No, they're not going to get that far. This is the equivalent of putting a piece of bubble gum in a crack in the wall of the dam. They can't prevent the fall. That's not going to happen. So what they're going to do is they're going to prolong this artificial condition until it ties in with something else they want to do. It's all behind the scenes maneuvering for the preparation to declare martial law. And I think that's coming before the holidays. Because they're not going to be able to sustain this. For instance, yesterday they announced very proudly that we've created 166,000 jobs, and so that was higher than they thought, and it's just wonderful news, and the market was supposed to jump on that, and of course that was the excuse this morning for bounce back from yesterday's loss. However, they forgot to mention that it takes 250,000 jobs per quarter or whatever. Whatever the measurement is, quarter, monthly, I'm not even sure, just to stay even with population growth. 156,000 mm-hmm. is still well below what's needed just to stay even. And since they, you know, this is not going to go anywhere. They keep a double set of books, which is why they are not revealing these.
Okay, wait. Let's take a break. Hold that thought. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Be right back. We'll have more.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Michael. Who's on the board
heart
today,
disease
you know?
Is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high
right,
blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you. But the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
Michael Herzog, the American Way, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my guest, Jim Kerwin. Okay, Jim, yeah, go ahead and finish your thought. You said they're not going to make it till the holidays?
I don't think so. No, this is because this made it into the news, having to do with Citibank and Morgan Stanley. One of the things that happens with news stories is once the hand has been tipped, once they've started something and let a certain amount of information into the psyche of the public, then they have to continue. They'll have to track the story. And this is the kind of story that hates spotlights. This is something that can only be done in the dark. And the second the spotlight comes on, they're through. And that particular thing, I mean, Citibank's the biggest bank in the country. And Morgan Stanley's right up there with them.
Right.
And if those two things go, that's going to cause ramifications they will not be able to stop. That was the reason they announced the injection of money, hoping that people would concentrate on a rising stock market as opposed to a falling stock market, so that this would go away. If it doesn't go away, then it's going to happen faster than they anticipated.
Well, one thing I noticed is that they injected this $41 billion just here the other day. And, when they did it, I think they did it, about a month ago.
Uh-huh.
And, the stock market went up and everything was fine and all these people are,
Only lasted 2 days.
But they did it this time and nothing happened. And then here we close out the week with gold up $15 an ounce. Now, the next question I want to toss at you is that we know, what does it take? In order to run this country, military and all, it takes, about $3 billion a day, something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, with that in mind, and you know, tossing all their out there as well that you know these other countries, Russia, China, and so forth, are not buying our debt anymore. Could it be? And I've pondered this, and I don't claim to be an expert at trying to figure this out, but it could it be that this whole debacle where they started injecting this money into the stock market here, I don't know, 60, 90 days ago, whatever it was, whenever the first time they threw it in there, could it be that it has something to do with this $3 billion a day that is taking the money to run this country, and that's the reason that they're throwing it in there, and they're artificially trying to prop it up until at least after the holidays when they know the whole thing's going to come crashing down? Because, I mean, you know, all of the significant market indications tell me that it's not just going to be a moderate slide. I mean, we're about ready to go into a nosedive here.
They don't want to hear the D word. Okay, they want to talk about recession versus inflation. The real thing they need to be starting to discuss is the D word, depression, because that's actually what we're headed for, big time.
Well, they're not even convinced, according to mainstream media, they're not even convinced that we're in a recession. And you know as well as I do, we've been in a recession for a year and a half.
That's because they don't live in the real world. They don't live where I live. I mean, they gave me a 2.3% that I won't get till January 1 increase in my cost of living as a Social Security recipient, okay? The cost of everything here has doubled, okay? 2.3% adds up to $11 for me, okay? An increase of $11 a month. And if they lived in the real world and had to choose between paying bills and eating, they would understand that this is a very serious situation. Jobs have dried up. The housing market's a joke. The banks are in deep, deep, deep trouble over this housing thing, and they're no longer able to contain it just to housing. It's spreading like wildfire. And they've been used to having two sets of books, ignoring the bad one and concentrating on the one the public can get their mind around, but they can't keep it. They can't keep that on the table either. It's just horrific. And we, you know, to pretend that we have an economy, they talk about our exports. Well, what do we export? We export tennis balls. We export
tennis balls.
Garbage. Yes, tennis balls.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, okay. We don't have a manufacturing sector. I mean, did you see what happened to Chrysler yesterday? 13,000 jobs more lost.
Oh, and they're cutting production on four different vehicles. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, it's just on and on and on. I mean, the thing is unraveling before our eyes, and people keep telling me things like, "Oh, well, you know, the stock market just goes up and it comes down and it goes up again. There's nothing new here. It's all the same stuff. Nothing to get excited about." I'm saying, well, would you be excited if America's biggest bank went under the day after tomorrow? Well, that's not going to happen. That's just that rumor mill on the web that's got nothing to do with reality. You know, you're playing Chicken Little again. And I'm sorry, if you've tracked this, as I have tracked it, for over 40 years, this particular problem has only gotten bigger to the point where it is now huge. It's the size of Mount Everest and sitting in the middle of the country. And there isn't any way you're going to be able to deflate this thing without major, colossal damage.
It goes to show you, you know, I talk a lot about the dumbed down mind, numb, propagandized, and hypnotized Americans, mm-hmm. but it goes into the professional world as well, because if you talk to a guy that's on Wall Street, a trader, you know, and I was watching a video last night, and they took the poll of 10 different traders, do you think there's a possibility of the market collapse, of the dollar collapsing? They said, no, the dollar will never collapse. And it reminds me, I've spoken with two different realtors. Okay, and this wasn't recently, it was a little over the last year or so. And they both came out with the most absurd statement I had ever heard in my life, and that being, we live in the richest country in the world. Well, I went in and I pulled the CIA documentation on the country with the most assets as opposed to the country with the least assets. And believe it or not, I think there was like, you know, what, it's 172 countries. Okay, and the one at the top of the list is China. They have the most assets in the world. The one on the bottom of the list, the biggest debt, and we're talking about, you know, from profit and loss. Mm-hmm. China, biggest profit, okay, the most assets in the world, China. Mm-hmm. The one with the least assets and the most debts, the United States of America, yet these people still believe that we're the richest country in the world. It's absurd. I mean, it literally is, as you say, Jim, it's the twilight zone, for crying out loud.
That's right. That's right. We have another little problem, too, having to do with the law and court. there's an article today about from the state to Blackwater. Nothing you can say nothing you say can and will be used against you in a court of law, is the title of the article. And nobody reacted to it. It goes like this. Apparently, there is one set of rights for Blackwater mercenaries and another for the rest of us. Normally, when a group of people alleged to have gunned down 17 civilians in a lawless shooting spree are questioned, investigators will tell them something along the lines of, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. That is not what the Blackwater operatives involved in the September 16 shooting in Iraq were told. Most of the Blackwater shooters were questioned by State Department diplomatic security investigators with the understanding that their statements and information gleaned from them would not be used to bring criminal charges against them, nor could they be introduced as evidence. In other words, anything you say can't and won't be used against you in a court of law. ABC News obtained copies of sworn statements given by Blackwater guards in the immediate aftermath of the shooting, all of which began, I understand this statement is being given in furtherance of an official administrative inquiry, in that, quote, I further understand that neither my statements nor any information or evidence gained by reason of my statements can be used against me in a criminal proceeding, end quote. Constitutional law expert Michael Ratner, president of the Center for Constitutional Rights, says the offering of so-called use immunity agreements by the State Department is very irregular, adding that he could not recall a precedent for it. In normal circumstances, Ratner said, such immunity is only granted after a grand jury or a congressional committee has been convened and the party has invoked their Fifth Amendment rights against self-incrimination. It would then be authorized by either a judge or the committee. Military law expert Scott Horton, Human Rights First, says, what the State Department has done in this case is inconsistent with proper law enforcement standards. It is likely to undermine an ultimate prosecution, if not make it impossible. In this sense, the objective of the State Department in doing this is exposed to question. It seems less to be collect the facts and than to immunize Blackwater and its employees. By purporting to grant immunity, State Department draws itself more deeply into the wrongdoing and adopts a posture vis-a-vis Blackwater that appears downright conspiratorial. This will make the fruits of its investigation a tough sell. Anyhow, it goes on like that. The point being that this country is now in the business of licensing murder. Sanctioned by the Department of State, which has no right to issue immunity orders. Nobody but the President of the United States can make somebody on this scale immune from prosecution.
Okay,
you might remember
the old
television programs where if you're caught or captured, the State Department will deny all blah, 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 blah. In other words, if you get caught.
Plausible denial?
Yes, you're on your own.
Right.
Even
right,
then,
right.
They recognized this was criminal, but they opted out. Now they've changed that whole stance from removing the authority from the spotlight and leaving the people to swing slowly in the wind. That's one part of it. But the other part of it is that this idea that these people can willy-nilly go through and pardon themselves for everything that they do is at the root of where our fiscal house falls apart, too. They're doing things by injecting this cash, which is just bizarre, completely outside the law. They've taken themselves out of the consequence and responsibility loop completely, in the same way that they removed these Blackwater guards from any possible criminal charges. You can't run countries that way. You might be able to run a syndicate or a mob that way, but you can't run a nation that way because the rest of us we step across the line. We expect to get banged on. I mean, we expect to be arrested and harassed and charged. We've got to pay, and we've got to do jail time, and we've got to pay fines because that's
and the impound law. Fees and impound fees. Don't forget the impound fees.
Absolutely. Yeah, but
go ahead.
But we have a nation now that is running full bore on a completely double, if not triple, set of values, so that
okay.
we don't. There's a whole crowd out there that doesn't have to follow those rules, doesn't have to adhere to anything. The rest
and so
of
we've
us.
So we've got. Go ahead.
Well, I had to go buy a BART ticket this morning, and I was down in the BART station trying to get this ticket at 10 o'clock in the morning, and there were five thug cops surrounding this one little black girl, had her up against a post, and they were questioning her in a not terribly friendly method, and I kept wondering to myself, I had to wait 15 minutes for the damn thing to open, and while I was waiting, I was thinking, why does it take five cops to question a black teenage girl who weighs about 100 pounds?
Okay, we've got to take a break. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest, Jim Kerwin. We've got more. Stick with us.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my guest, Jim Kerwin. Okay, so, Jim, we've got this 115-pound black girl that's being accosted by five or six goons in the BART station. So, go ahead.
Oh, it just struck me as rather odd that, you know, this is how you can go through the BART station hour after hour after hour and never see an agent or a cop. And here's five of them surrounding this little girl with a backpack, leaning up against the wall, crying, and... It takes five of them to do this.
It's intimidation. But let me give you as scary, or if not even more scary, a thought, because you're talking about Blackwater being exempted from any of the crimes that they commit, just like, you know, George Bush enacted the executive order, which absolves him of any, of the draconian moves that he's made since 9/11. But you've got Blackwater here that's exempted from, you know, anything that they may pull off, on the one hand. Then you've got them running all over. They're being trained on our soil. They're running around our streets, of which you've seen them in San Francisco. And I didn't know at the onset, but after you'd mentioned that to me on a prior show, I remember seeing one of those white vehicles going down the freeway with the initials ICE on the side, and that was Blackwater. But with that, okay, you've got them running around our streets, and then you've got our Congress that is ramming through this H.R. 1955, which is talking about homegrown terror, broadening the definitions of homegrown terror, and you've got mainstream media that is trying to tie in the Patriot Radio, They are tying in, you know, the journalists and so forth. Anybody that speaks out against anything this government is doing, they're tying that in. I mean, that paints a pretty scary picture if you've got these Blackwater guys running around the streets and they ram through this legislation. If the Senate signs it, George Bush will be frothing at the mouth to sign it. Then you've got these guys that are supposed to be or would probably, you know, enforce it selectively, and they'd be exempt from prosecuting us for whatever they do.
Well, thinking about all of that stuff, I was trying to figure out how do we change the topic to get responsibility back where it belongs. And a perfect scenario appeared on the web, having to do with what's going on in D.C. has to do with ending the debate over waterboarding. And I'm just going to read you a couple of paragraphs of this to give you the idea.
Isn't that amazing? Because that was my next one up on the board here. Go ahead.
Okay. Currently, there is a debate over the legitimacy of America's use of waterboarding as a legal practice, and ongoing attempts to use these arcane practices and procedures when it comes to the treatment of detainees in the Cheney-Bush wars on terror. The most recent controversy was sparked by questions directed to Michael Mukasey, the current nominee for U.S. Attorney General before the Senate Judiciary Committee. In his response to questions about the practice of waterboarding as to whether or not this actually constitutes torture, the nominee said that, quote, if it is torture, unquote, then, quote, it would be unconstitutional, unquote. The impression he left was that he had no way to know that waterboarding was indeed torture and that he therefore could not render an opinion. To end this game of hypothetical responses throughout the Cheney-Bush White House, there is a relatively simple and very direct way to arrive at the truth. All those in positions of authority on this matter, those culpable within the chain of command that created this treatment, Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Powell, Wu, not really you, Rice, Gonzalez, and Chertoff, along with all the former generals who authorized this practice, along with Mukasey, should all be sent down to the U.S. Navy's training facility in San Diego where the waterboarding procedure is taught under the auspices of Homeland Security. To get to the bottom of this question of whether or not waterboarding qualifies as torture, the full procedure should be administered to each and every one of those people responsible for this procedure, on camera, in separate isolated cells, in the same way it is used on detainees. This would yield conclusive proof of the degree to which this practice, developed during the Inquisition, is still as vile and repugnant a practice today as it was all those hundreds of years ago when it was created.
I'd be for that. Go ahead.
Yeah. These open-to-the-public tapes of these demonstrations ought to put to rest forever any further questions concerning the use of waterboarding as part of our treatment of those we consider to be hostile to our invasions or occupations around the world today. Any potential violation of the right of privacy that these individuals might wish to raise would, of course, be overruled by the importance to the public of the results of the outcomes of this demonstration. While this might present a medical treatment problem to people such as Cheney with his number of heart problems, it should nonetheless be undertaken as medical preconditions are not currently recognized by those administering these practices in the field. Therefore, since the administration maintains that this is not torture, they should have no objections whatsoever to a public demonstration of what they allege are the facts concerning what so many others around the world consider to be the most iconic example of outright torture that the U.S. is using in its military prison systems around the world today. If these high-profile politicians and military officials refuse to participate in this display to prove or disprove what waterboarding does to its victims, they should immediately be relieved of their official duties and be charged with the war crimes that they have individually been instrumental in creating by their approval and participation in this continued abhorrent practice. Of course, this proposal is a natural catch-22. But then if the politicians in the military can use these kinds of tactics against all men and women in the military and the populations they have invaded and continue to occupy, then they shouldn't mind acceding to this simple yet sincere request.
I'd be the first to stand up and vote for it, buddy. I mean, it's, you know, a great point. You wrote that, didn't you?
Yes.
Yes, yes, and I think that's an outstanding point. Okay,
it's on Rents, by the way. It's called Ending the Debate Over Waterboarding.
All right, well, there you go, Rents.com. Give him a plug. All right, we're going to have a break coming up here, but I'm going to bring – I got a caller. Let's go to Patrick in Austin. And, Patrick, I'll hold you over after the break if you don't get your point across. But you're on with Michael and Jim. Go ahead.
Hey, I called in yesterday. I was talking to a fellow employee this morning about how Bush turning the National Guard over to his control and whatnot.
And
yes, okay, I'll tell you what, hold the thought. I've got to take a break. I pulled you up. I'll hold you over until after the break. Interesting that you should bring up that point about the Coast Guard. We'll be back at 3, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest Jim Kerwin and Patrick. He's going to tell us a little about that, and Lieutenant Eric Schein has got an ongoing debacle with that issue. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the Success team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest Jim Kerwin. We've got Patrick. Patrick, you were talking about something about the Coast Guard, yes?
Yeah, this morning I was informing a fellow employee about how Bush has turned the National Guard and whatnot over to his control. The governors have no say-so in the matter, so they can, you know, the president can use the troops, let's say, in Texas to do martial law in, let's say, another state or whatnot, and no one has really any say-so in the matter. And I had a fellow Bush Cheney supporter walk in the room and start listening to what I was saying and cut me off and got extremely hostile with me over how you guys are all the same. You know, you keep blaming Bush. You know, it's not just Bush's problem. I was like, well, yeah, you know, you have the entire corrupt government, but he wouldn't hear through it. I was wondering, is there a place somewhere on the Internet or possibly you could post up on your site that has a listing of unconstitutional things that Bush has actually passed, executive orders and whatnot?
Well, I don't have that up on
my irony
website.
There, caller, the irony there is that the place that you can go to find the unconstitutional things is the U.S. White House website. He's got executive orders listed there. All you got to do is go through them. And
I wanted to do like a little printout and just hand it over to the guy and be like, you know, here you go, Bush supporter. Yeah, here's your president.
Give him the address for the White House.
Excuse me, Jim, but I think it would probably, I mean, if I were approaching this guy, what I would probably do is I would say, do you believe in the United States Constitution? And if he says yes, then I would just mention the Patriot Act, John Warner Defense Bill, Military Commissions Act, this Orwellian, you know, the hate crimes bill. All of these totally kick out all of our rights, okay, the free speech, everything. I mean, it just totally nullifies our Bill of Rights. And George Bush signed all of these, with the exception of H.R. 1955, which he will sign, okay? Now, I'm not sure if he signed the hate crimes legislation yet, but I know it has gone through the House and the Senate.
Patrick?
Go ahead.
Go to Rents.com. In the middle of his, you click on the site, and in the middle of his page, he's got a series of boxes. He's got frequently, I mean, recent submissions on the far right. He's got these boxes right down the middle of the page, which is highlighted. These are what he considers to be the most important pieces. And if you just go through there, just read the titles and click on the ones that interest you, because they're all about these very things you ask questions about in every different area.
I will check it out when I get home.
Okay,
but before I let you go, I want to mention to you, the first thing that you want to do, because you want to trap this guy, you want to give him no place to run. The first thing you do is you ask him, do you believe in your United States Constitution? And when he says yes, of course I do, that's a stupid question, then you bring up everything that Bush has done, everything he's signed, the executive orders and the whole nine yards that totally fly in the face of the Constitution and strip that employee of his Bill of Rights. Stick that in his face and then ask him if he's still a Bush supporter.
All right, will do.
Thanks for the call, Patrick. Appreciate it. Yeah, isn't that interesting? I mean, and I can understand. I can understand the frustration that Patrick has with these people, because they, you know, I give the other side all the credit in the world for being so clever at propagandizing the American public. Mm-hmm. They are so infirmed in their foundation of their paradigm and their belief system that it's all, you almost need a sledgehammer just to wake them up to be objective enough to listen to you, Jim. You know.
Well, Information Clearinghouse has a number of major articles every day about the way these illegalities work in the world, as does WhatReallyHappened.com. These places are clearinghouses for key, pivotal happenings on a daily basis between the war in Iraq, the war on us, the war on our rights. All those three things prefigure into the pieces that they feature. And if you like jigsaw puzzles, if you like putting together a mosaic, it's very simple to see what happens to our rights once we have given them up. And basically, we've given them up. And that's the conclusion you have to come to after reading a half a dozen of these, of whichever area you're talking about. The problem is this 36% or 35%, whatever it is, that still supports that idiot in the White House. If it weren't for them, he'd be gone.
Well, that's true, and you know, you even look at the people that are still caught in a left-right paradigm, you know, liberal Democrats. I mean, they don't support him at all, but they think Hillary Clinton or John Edwards or Barack Obama is going to save him, which isn't true, and we know that. But we do have at least the support in that content that they don't like George Bush and they want him out of office. You know, and you get into the crux of the issue about how many people really, not so much like believe 9/11 was an inside job or whatever, but that just believe that the government is lying to us, and the charts are just over the top. I mean, it's like, you know, not better than 90% of the people know that this government is lying to us, that they're not telling us the truth, that they've been, you know, they lied about the WNDs and so forth. I mean, the fact of the matter is that you would think that these people would at least, with that knowledge in mind, that limited knowledge, be accessible, be objective to, you know, a rational, intelligent conversation regarding what's, you know, what's under this.
But Michael, they don't, and the reason they don't is because they haven't lived a life. They have no personal physical experience with real difficulties. They have never missed a meal. These people don't understand what it means to live in troubled times. You might as well talk to them in Farsi or Swahili. I mean, we're speaking different languages here. The folks who are making more money than they've ever dreamed of are not living in any kind of deprivation. These are people that have never had it so good right now. And so, of course, they're going to say, well, we're just a bunch of nuts. I mean, we're just out here, you know, making trouble because we were failures, or we are conspiracy theorists, or whatever the hell. All of these kinds of criticisms bypass the real core of what's going on. And the real core of what's going on is we're living in completely different worlds, and the two can't talk to each other because we don't have a commonality between us. There is no common ground recognized by the people, the thugs that are running the outlaw government and or the hijacked government, and the people who have to work for a living. We live by a completely different set of standards.
Right. Well, let me ask, I mean, in your mind, mm-hmm. what do you visualize happening when, and I say when, not if, but when this moderate decline in our dollar goes down the slippery slope, turns into a crash, and these people that are sitting there with, you know, 100,000, a million, 500,000 in their pension funds, you know, go the way of the wild goose. What do you visualize their reactions going to be at that point?
Well, I used to think that they would really get extremely angry, but then if you look back at Enron and what happened to those people, they lost everything. And every single thing they had. With no recourse to the courts, nothing, okay, to Kenny Boy and Bush, his favorite boy. And these events, had they taken place in my childhood, I came from a place very close to that, which was Oklahoma. And if I had had every cent that I was ever going to lead my future at issue, I would have put a bullet right between his eyes within a New York second of that fall. And a lot of other people would have joined me. But that day and time is long since gone. That is not even a remote possibility now. People don't think that way anymore. They don't get angry. They don't see consequences as a way to solve anything. And so they just take it. They sit there and take it. I'm afraid that if they go to the bank and they try to operate the Versateller or the cash machine thing and nothing happens, they're going to be really angry. But how much action that's going to produce, I think it might come more quickly if they can't use the cell phone, if for some reason they can't access their computer games, or they can't play their music. That's likely to generate far more anger than the rest of it. And it's very, very odd because they're not responding to typical stimuli. In other words, it was thought that these people would rebel if they lost all their money in a New York second, which they may well do yet. But that's not even that is a given anymore, because these people don't respond to the normal give and take of society in the world. They just simply deal with it somehow. But if it all becomes moot, if these two banks go down, if this situation starts to happen, it'll tumble quickly. This isn't going to be some protracted thing we can report on and talk about for a week or 10 days. It's going to be almost instant. And you're going to see an awful lot of people just completely destroyed. They're going to be walking around, but they're, you know, for all intents and purposes, they're dead because they don't respond. And they
waiting
don't know
for the
what
government
to do.
To knock on, huh? Waiting for the government to knock on the door and say, we're from the government, we're here to help, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let me pose this question to you.
Yeah.
All right. What would you say to a man that had retired and say, oh, he had $500,000 in a 401k,
mm-hmm.
and he owned his house,
mm-hmm.
okay, and he was thinking about buying precious metals, but, you know, maybe his accountant or his financial advisor or somebody told him that, well, you know, it would cost you X amount of dollars in tax, so he decided to do nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of advice would you give that man in this particular economic peril that we're in right now?
The game he's involved in is bigger than he is. You can't. I don't care how much money you've got in gold. You can't spend gold bars. You can't transport them.
No. He doesn't have gold. I'm saying a 401k. He's got paper assets. You know, this, that, and the other thing.
Well, that'll all be gone. Because under the Patriot Act, the government can seize everything you've got, period. Stroke of a pen. They don't even need a reason.
They can preclude the bank from telling you. One day you go to the bank and there's nothing there. Read it. It's in the Patriot Act. Patriot Act 1 has it.
No, I understand that. My question to you was, what would you say to a gentleman like that that was sitting on the fence saying, well, I don't know, you know, it's going to cost me X amount of dollars in taxes if I want to move any of this money out, put it into, you know, gold coins or whatever. What advice would you give somebody like that?
The advice I would give him is that it's about a whole lot more than just your money. The money is sitting there in a completely unprotected way. If the system goes, the money's going, no matter where you put it, because you won't have access to it, because the computer thing is very fragile. It doesn't take much to knock out a computer system or have it to go down. If it goes down, you can't get at it, it might as well be gone. Even if it's still there, you might as well be gone. So you need to think about your whole situation, not just the financial aspect of it. And if you had done that back when this first came across the horizon, you would have already been making plans. If you're not already making plans to where you want to be and what you want to do and how you want to live, it's almost too little too late. There's no happy jack answer to this. Because people have to actually take action. No matter what the situation is, you have to take action. You can't look to somebody else to bail you out of this situation. And if getting your money depends on other people, you're in trouble. You have to. That's why people stash money away, as though. But they've also forgotten that money, if this happens, is going to be worthless. Might as well use it for toilet paper.
Right. So, no, I know. I know what I would do. If I were in a situation like that right at this point in time, you know, I had a 401k that if I pulled money out, I was going to be taxed on it or whatever. I know what I would do. Knowing what I know about the economy, what's going on behind the scenes, I would cash it out, take my hit, put it into, you know, gold or silver or both, and I'd probably bail this country. That's what I would do. Okay, but then
I don't have the interesting thing is I'm minute to minute, I'm barely alive at all, so I don't have that particular problem.
The fall from grace for somebody who does, that has, you know, has been in this situation, and I'm not just talking about one guy, I'm talking about there's, you know, thousands of people like this.
Millions.
The people that are in that particular situation who are relying on the system and going by the letter of the law, and, well, it's going to cost me X amount of taxes here or there or the other, knowing what you and I know about what's going on, and the fact that these people behind the scenes that are telling him what he has to do or what not to do, they don't obey their own laws anyway. Okay?
Well, you can't. The thing is, you can't go against their entire life experience. They're going by something they've learned day in and day out since they were knee-high to a grasshopper. They've lived a particular way. They have believed what they believe based on what they consider to be evidence that did not change, when in point of fact that evidence has been changing radically every year since the 1950s. So that what we have today not only doesn't even resemble the belief system that they have invested in, what they grew up on, and what they continue to believe in. So when you try and talk to these people about this, they think you just came here from Mars. They cannot wrap their mind around the idea that nothing that they have looked to is what it appears to be to them. It's completely been changed. This idea that we have a country with inalienable rights that the citizens of this nation enjoy, that's a nice theory, but in practice, where the rubber meets the road, when you're in court, when you've been arrested, any of those things, it's a completely different ballgame, just like the thing that you bumped into with your car, okay? It's, by law, none of that should have happened. But in point of fact, in the reality world, it not only is happening, but it's going to continue to happen until somebody stops it.
Right,
so,
right.
The people with assets, if they want to protect those assets, the time for them to get with it. I mean, they've had 6 years, for God's sake, to look at this and say, this country is out of control. I have to do something. And I've been beating the drum for them to do something about the country. But the subtext is more personal, person by person. They have to do something for themselves first. If that's important to them, their financial wherewithal and what they've worked all their lives to create,
then it's incumbent upon them to find a way to protect it. And, of course, it's going to vary person to person. There's no magic solution for that. But we have to begin to look at it seriously. And you can't do that if you leave the perception that this country is still the country it was in 1950 in your head, because it's just not. It doesn't bear any resemblance to that country. It's been altered at every functional level of society. In every single way, it has changed. Part of it is natural. It's changed around the world, not just here. But this is a serious thing. There's too many of us, no matter our color or religion, all that stuff is beside the point. There's physically too many people on the planet. And all of these things are coming smack up against an end point that nobody wants to address, so we keep putting it off, just like the Congress keeps putting off paying off the debt or even attempting to behave in some kind of a fiscally responsible way. So at some point, this debt that we've accumulated, the $71 trillion, has got to somehow have a modicum of balance, but we're not going there. We continue to borrow into oblivion. And so I don't know what you tell those people, because they have to be in the mood to hear you.
Right.
And they're not there yet. By the time they
okay.
are, it's going to be too late.
All right, we're going to take a break, come back for the final segment with my guest, Jim Kerman. I have one more question for you when we get back. Jim, stick with me. It's a good question. We'll see if it's a good answer. Be right back.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear, and here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
All right,
right, we're back. Final segment of The American Awakening. Your host, Michael Herzog, with my guest, Jim Kerwin. Jim, I have one closing question I want to get your take on here, okay? Hypothetical. All right, H.R. 1955 passes the House, goes through under under S-1959, sweeps through the Congress. George Bush is frothing at the mouth, signs the bill, the committee is put in force, and we find ourselves in a position now where they are, like the mainstream media is trying to paint us now, as domestic terrorists. Mm-hmm. Blackwater's running around here, you know, exempt from anything they do to any of us on our own soil, and the waterboarding thing is in effect. Where do you see this going if this is allowed to go through to that particular point? I mean, do you see our doors being kicked in? Do you see us being disappeared in the middle of the night? Do you see anybody that's passing out literature or DVDs or whatever being harassed, being prosecuted? Where do you see it going?
I don't think that they're going to actually implement that until they've got the other trigger in place. There will be an internationally watched event that will happen, whether it's the banks or whether it's Iran or whether it's Pakistan. Any one of a number of things could happen on the global stage that will give him the qualifier to declare martial law, at which point that will kick in big time, and anybody that's picked up will suffer under that, whether they were active or passive or not. In other words, that's a convenience waiting to be used. It's not something I think he has enough testosterone to do without having it connected to something much bigger that he can hide behind for posterity's sake, if nothing else. It's a very ugly, very tricky thing, but it's all part of this CYA situation where he wants to make certain that what he does is hypothetically covered. Because it's not about him, remember. It's about the people pulling strings for him. And, you know, it's a really ugly scenario, and if you follow the whole thing that around about Cheney with connected to what's his name,
Rockefeller.
Hate it when my mind goes blank. It's
that guy.
It's
that bad guy over in the corner. Yeah, go ahead.
Rothschild. It's is it Roosevelt? No.
Continue on. We'll fill in the blank later. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he's been connected to the CLR and all that stuff. The people pulling Cheney's strings have been outed, finally. And
right.
It has to do with the Central and South American thing and the NAU. It came out that this is what's controlling Cheney. And it's particularly ugly. And they want everything. And so once this begins to happen, you know, this is just one little more detail. They're not really concentrating on that. They have always had that in mind to do, but they're not fond of that spotlight, and so they're going to hesitate until there is no spotlight. And the only way to get that is martial law. The second you have that, they can do whatever they want to whoever they want, whenever they feel like it. That's what I think they're going to do. Because it would be, otherwise it would be totally inconvenient. There might be a story come out, they might arrest the wrong person at the wrong time, and
right.
Somebody might actually rebel.
All right, well, thank you so much. Good answer, my friend. I will see you next Thursday instead of next Friday, Jim. Thank you so much for coming on. It's a pleasure as usual. And stay tuned for the National Intel Report with my friend John Stattmiller. I'm sure he has a good show today. I think he's got a guest. Not real sure about that. End of another week, folks. So hope you have a good weekend and a good rest of the day. I'm going to try to after what happened to me this morning. So we will see you Monday. Bye-bye.